Okay, I am recording as well. Good evening, everybody. It's good to be back. It's been a month already, the whole month of Tishrei. Baruch Hashem, we had a Yom Tov every Wednesday. It's been a good couple of weeks. It's good to be back. Tonight's topic, we're continuing with Choshen Mishpat. Tonight's topic is Nidrei Tzedaka V'Machshava, which means if a person mentally, he thinks to himself that he wants to donate to a certain tzedaka, is that Machshava, is that thought binding? I wanted to thank Mr. and Mrs. Toby Bernstein for sponsoring the Shir Le'ili Nishmas Adina Bernstein. The neshama should have an aliyah. So let's see the sources, and we're actually going to see that it's a machlokes, it's an argument in the Rishonim. If a person mentally thinks, decides to donate to a certain tzedaka, is that machshava, is that thought binding? So let's first learn the Gemara in Kedushin. So I cited the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara says that Rishus Gevoya, the Mishnah in Kedushin is discussing kinyanim, various acts of acquisition, formal acts to be able to acquire. So the Mishnah says in Kedushin, Rishus Gevoya Bekesef. If the Beis HaMikdash wants to acquire something, if the Beis HaMikdash gives money for an object, imagine if the Gizbor, if the custodian of the Beis HaMikdash purchases flour for the purpose of sacrifices, purchases an animal for the purpose of sacrifices. So the Kinyan Kesef, merely giving money is binding and you can't retract. However, Rishus Hedit Bachazaka, however, when it comes to private citizens, if they want to have a transaction between one another, so even giving the money is not yet binding. We once discussed this. The object has to be brought into your domain. Mishicha. You have to have a physical act of acquisition on the object itself. So if I want to purchase something from you and I give you money, so that would not necessarily bind the sale. I would have to perform some act of acquisition on the object in order for it to be binding. But when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, it's not the case. If the Beis HaMikdash simply pays for the object, so then the vendor is obligated to deliver. Then the Mishnah concludes, Amira Legvoya Kemesiras Lehedit. If a person pledges something to the Beis HaMikdash, now we're not discussing tzedakah yet, a person in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, a person pledges something to the temple, to the Beis HaMikdash, so Kemesiras Lehedit. That's as binding as if he physically handed it over to the other party. So if I merely designate this carbon, this animal should be a sacrifice, I want to donate this money to the temple upkeep, Berek HaBayis, the halacha is that the mere statement is binding and you have to fulfill your word. You can't retract. There's no way to undo the neder. Now, the Tur in the Halacha and Hilchas Tzedakah, Simin Reish Nun Ches, 258, brings a Halacha like this. Amiras Adam Legvoya Kemesiras Lehedyot. So says the Tur, that just like the Gemara tells us, that when a person pledges something to the Beis HaMikdash, it's binding, so too, says the Tur, Misha Noidir Tzedakah. If a person vows, he pledges to give Tzedakah, so the person sitting in Shul, and he pledges to give tzedakah, or the person pledges to give tzedakah to some kind of organization or some kind of tzedakah. So the halacha is that the vow is binding. So the Torah tells us clearly that vowing to give tzedakah is the same as giving to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis Yosef says that the Rif paskins like that in Baba Kama, and it's actually a Gemara coming up in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. For those that are learning Daf Yomi, the Gemara darshins a pasuk beficha zutzdaka, that what you say with your mouth, what you say with your word, is binding, and you have to follow through, and you have to give the tzedakah. Now, the question remains: what if I machshava? What if I mentally decided to give tzedakah? I didn't even verbalize my promise. I mentally wanted to give tzedakah. So what's the halacha? So by the way, that's why when a person pledges to give tzedakah, it's always worthwhile to say, Bli Neder. A person gets an aliyah, he pledges a matana to the Beis HaKnesses, you should say bli neder, because your verbal commitment is for sure binding, and that's how it's paskined in the Torah. Now, let's learn a Gemara in Shavuos. The Gemara in Shavuos says, Omar Shmuel, gomar b'li boi tzarech sh'yotzei b'svasim. Shmuel is discussing a regular oath or a vow that a person makes, nothing to do with the mitzvah per se. A person makes a vow, he wants to go on a diet, he doesn't want to eat. A person makes a vow that he wants to do such and such, or that he doesn't want to do such and such. So says the Gemara in Shavuos, Omar Shmuel, if a person decides to do something, a regular oath or a regular vow, so he has to verbalize it. Because the Pasuk says, Levate bisfasayim, the Pasuk says, you have to have an utterance of the lips. An ordinary oath has to be uttered. If a person makes a shvua not to eat something, a particular thing, it has to be uttered. If he merely thought it, it doesn't count. Asks the Gemara, Moitzi sevasecha tishmor v'yasisa. The Gemara brings a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim that whatever a person says, he has to do. Says the Gemara, Ainli ela shehoitzi bisfasav. That's if he says it, if he articulates it. Gomar baliba minayin. What if he merely decided in his mind, mentally? So the Gemara cites a different pasuk, Kol nediv lev. The Gemara says, the pasuk says regarding the Mishkan, when we were bringing donations to the Mishkan, to the tabernacle back in the times of the desert, it says in the pasuk, Kol nediv lev. Anybody who voluntarily gives of his heart, which implies that even if you only considered it in your heart, it's already binding. So the Gemara answers that's different because that was the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara clearly is making a distinction that a mental commitment only applies to the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't apply to an ordinary oath not to eat something or to do a specific thing. So the Gemara asks, let's derive it from the Beis HaMikdash. Just like if you want to give something to the Beis HaMikdash, I can mentally commit myself. So why can't I mentally commit myself to not eat a particular thing? So the Gemara answers, because Truma and Kachim, separating tithes or donating something to the Beis HaMikdash, are two psukim, and these two psukim are specifically hektish, referring to something holy, that you're consecrating the Truma, or you're consecrating something to the Beis HaMikdash. So we cannot derive ordinary civilian transactions or ordinary oaths to something that was going on in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara clearly is telling us the parameters. Something holy, something that you're committing to give to the Beis HaMikdash, or something that you're designating as Truma to give to the Kohen, according to Tosfos, these are holy things. You're consecrating something. You can consecrate something with a machshava. But a mere shvua, a vow or an oath, just to do something mundane, to not eat a particular thing, to do a particular thing, that's not binding the machshava. So the question is, what about something that falls somewhere in the middle? What about something that is a mitzvah, like for example, tzedakah, but it's not holy? You're not consecrating the money. It doesn't become hektish. On the other hand, it's a mitzvah. We know that if you're consecrating something, that can be done mentally. That, the Gemara says, in the times of the Mishkan, they were able to pledge things and it would be binding mentally. But what about something mundane? It's not binding at all. If it's b'machshava, onto that Shmuel says you have to have an utterance of the lips. What about a shvua? What about the promising something that's a mitzvah? It's not holy, it's not consecrated, it's not hektish, but at the same time, it's a mitzvah, it's more than just an ordinary shvua. So I actually found that there's a machlokes in the Rishonim. There are two opinions cited in the Rishonim, whether we compare nidrei tzedakah to the Beis HaMikdash as if it's something holy, or do we compare it to an ordinary vow, which would require a dibur, you would have to have an utterance of the lips. There's a Kshuvas HaRush. The Rush tells us, it's brought in the Beis Yosef and Hilchos Tzedakah, Reish Nun Ches, chapter 258, Sif Yud Gimel, says the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher, if a person purchases a piece of land with the intent to make it Kodesh, he wants to make it holy, but he didn't utter anything, he didn't verbalize anything. So says the Rush, it's not binding. It's Dvarim Shevalev, it's something in his heart. Something in his heart is usually not binding. That's what the Rush says. Even though, says the Rush, even though the Pasuk says that if you consecrate something to the temple, to the Beis HaMikdash, your machshava is binding, says the Rush, But you can't compare something mundane to something holy. The Rush says that. And nowadays, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, when a person purchases a piece of land with the intent of making it holy, so to speak, he means to give it to tzedakah. He means to designate it to a yeshiva, to designate the land to some orphanage or to some other worthy endeavor. That's considered mundane. It's not quite the Beis HaMikdash, says the Rush. It's not binding. So we have the Rush on one side who clearly says that nidrei tzedakah, it has to be verbalized. It has to be expressed, otherwise it's not binding. However, the Mordechai in the back of the Gemara writes that from the fact that it says in Shavuos that if a person mentally commits himself to something holy, it's binding. So says the Mordechai, Pasak b'tshuvas hagoin, so it's paskin in the tshuva of the goinim, that if a person decides to give tzedakah, it's as if he verbalized it and it is binding. Even though we say in Maseches Shavuos that it only applies to Truma and Kadshim, which is something holy, says the Mordechai, not like the Rush, in contrast to the Rush, says the Mordechai, that pledging tzedakah is considered holy. He brings a Rashi in the Tshuva that pledging tzedakah is like offering a sacrifice. So if we take a step back, these are like fascinating concepts, that how does Hashem look at it if I pledge tzedakah? According to the Rush, tzedakah is a mitzvah. It's not considered as if you're giving to the Beis HaMikdash. According to the Mordechai, tzedakah is on par, promising to give money to an ani or to a worthy organization. Nidrei tzedakah, nidrei mitzvah, is the equivalent of giving something to the Beis HaMikdash. So just like in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, a mental decision, a mental commitment would be binding, so too says the Mordechai that a mental commitment to give tzedakah is actually binding, and you have to follow through. It's as if you pledge something to the Beis HaMikdash. It's like a neder or nedava. It's like a sacrifice. It's like a carbon, and it's binding. Now, there's a very similar machlokes to this, not referring to tzedakah, but referring to a tainis, referring to a fast day. So in the times of the Gemara, nowadays we usually fast on the enacted days that we fast. In the times of the Gemara, people would sometimes accept upon themselves other fasts. A person might make a neder that he wants to fast various days throughout the year, and then during that, as the year goes on, he'll redeem his pledge, so to speak, with a fast. So the halacha is that if I want to use tomorrow as a fast day to redeem my pledge to fast, I have to designate that day ahead of time. I have to say the day before that tomorrow I want that fast day to count towards my fasts. So says Tosfos in Maseches Avodah Zarah on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, by Kabbalas Tainus, can you accept the fast with the Machshava? Can you accept the fast mentally, or does it have to be verbalized? So there was once a story that it came before Rabbeinu Tam. Somebody pledged to fast 5 different fast days throughout the year, and he fasted those days, but he forgot to articulate it the day before. He forgot to designate those days as fast days. He planned on using that day as a fast day, but he didn't verbalize that he's formally designating that day as a fast day. Says Rabbeinu Tam, it doesn't matter. He can still count those days towards his tainus. Why? Because says Rabbeinu Tam, because Gomra Beliboy, it's included in the Div Lev, because the mental commitment to make a fast day is as if you're pledging something to the Beis HaMikdash. So again, Rabbeinu Tam seems to say the same thing as the Mordechai. Just like the Mordechai says that a mental commitment to tzedakah is like the Div Lev, is like a carbon, so too, any neder, any commitment, any decision to perform a mitzvah is considered like a carbon, a sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash, and he's mentally committed. That's Rabbeinu Tam. However, the Rabbeinu Yitzchak used to argue and say that you have to express it before, that you're hereby designating this day as a fast day, otherwise the day is not binding. So the Marik, in Shoyrish Kuf Samach Aleph, the Beis Yosef brings it in Hilchos Tzedaka, he says that this machlokes between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri regarding fast days, if a mental commitment to fast, a person for whatever reason wants to fast, he had a bad dream, he wants to fast, as a form of atonement, he wants to fast. If a person commits himself mentally
to fast tomorrow. So says the Beis Yosef, this same machlekes that we just cited between the Beinu Tam and the Ri would be the same machlekes as the Rush and the Mordechai regarding tzedakah. Just like the Mordechai says that if a person mentally commits himself to tzedakah, that's binding, that would be consistent with Rabbeinu Tam. If a person mentally commits himself to fast tomorrow, that's also a mitzvah, so it would be binding. However, according to the Rush, that if a person mentally commits himself to tzedakah, it's not binding. It's considered a mundane act. It's a mitzvah is not in the category of hektish. It's not as if you're donating something to the Beis HaMikdash. The same thing would apply to any mitzvah. For example, a fast day, if the person commits himself to fast, it would not be binding. What's the halacha about all of this? In halacha, so both opinions are brought in the Ramah in Hilchas Tzedakah, and the Ramah rules in favor of the Mordechai that in fact a mental commitment to give tzedakah is binding. Says the Ramah, I would like to quote the Ramah, Im chishev b'libo litein ezer davar letzedakah. If a person commits himself in his heart to give something to tzedakah, chayiv l'kayim machshavto, he's obligated to fulfill his machshava, his thoughts. The ain't tzarech amira, and it's not necessary to verbalize it. It's just as binding as if he verbalized it. Ela de'im omar, kaifin oisei l'kayim. It's just that if he doesn't verbalize it, then nobody will know about it, so nobody can force him to do it, obviously, because nobody knows about it. If he verbalizes it, then the bezdin is aware of his pledge, and then the shul, or whoever, the board of directors, whoever heard his pledge could actually coerce him to give the money because he promised to give the money. If he only has it mentally, obviously nobody will know about it. But it's just as binding mentally as if he verbalized it between him and himself, between him and Hashem. And those are the words of the Mordechai. There are those who say the Ramah, that if he doesn't verbalize it, it's not binding. That's the opinion of the Rush. And says the Ramah, I put it in bold, The main opinion is the first opinion that a mental commitment to tzedakah is binding. And the Ramah refers you to Chayshin Mishpat, where again he refers to the Machlekes about if a person purchases a piece of land with the intent of donating it to a Mosad, to an organization, to a tzedakah. So the same disagreement applies over there. And the Ramah rules in favor of the Mordechai that the mental commitment is binding. Now the Shulchan Aruch himself brings these two opinions in Reish Yudbeis and Cheshen Mishpat regarding the person who purchased a piece of land. And again, the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch himself, brings these two opinions. Some say that his mental obligation is binding, and others say that it's not. And the Ramah, again, in Cheshen Mishpat says, we should be strict like the first opinion. Now I saw brought in the Paiskim that since it is a suffix, it is a dispute between two opinions, so even if you inform us afterwards that you mentally committed, so a bezdin would never obligate you to pay because we can't extract the money from you because there are those opinions who say that you're not obligated. But you yourself should be strict, and if a person ever mentally committed to something, he should do that. Now in the brackets, in paragraph Yud, so I brought the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon actually asks a contradiction in the Ramah, because the Ramah, we just got through saying, holds that a mental commitment to give tzedakah is binding. However, in Hilchos Yom Kippur and in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, the Ramah says that there's a mitzvah to accept the Yom Kippur upon yourself a little bit early. We talked about that before Yom Kippur, the mitzvah of Tosfos Yom Kippur. But says the Ramah, it's only binding if you accepted it verbally. But if you accepted it mentally, it's not binding. So the Ramah seems to make a distinction between Nidrei Tzedakah and between a Tainis, a fast day. We've been saying all along that the opinions seem to line up, that anytime something is a mitzvah, it's included in Nidrei Tzedakah, and whatever you hold regarding Tzedakah would apply to a fast day. But the Ramah makes a distinction between Tzedakah and between other mitzvahs. So the Aruch HaShulchan explains the Ramah's opinion that it's a compromise position between the two, that only physically giving something to tzedakah would be considered like a consecration, but other mitzvahs perhaps would not be. That would be a middle opinion. Okay. Now, the Poskim say in item Yud Beis, the Poskim say that if a person intends to give staka, but it doesn't end up happening. So, for example, it's only let's read together the Ois Yud Aleph in the Aruch HaShulchan category Yud Aleph in the Aruch HaShulchan. Ein Aruch HaShulchan in Yoredeya Reish Nun Ches says the Aruch HaShulchan. Ach Gam Ledeya Rishoyim. Even according to this first opinion, Loi Mikri Gomra Beliba Machshava Ba'Alma. What's considered to be a mental commitment? So says the Aruch HaShulchan. It's only considered to be a mental commitment. Loi mikri gomra beliboy b'machshava, with the thought. Ela im kein gomra beliboy mamish behechle. It had to have been that you actually decided to give it. It has to be a firm commitment in your mind that you wanted to give the money. This and this I want to give to tzedakah. However, if the person just had a fleeting thought, he was thinking, you know, maybe it's nice, maybe I'm going to think about if I can give or not, that would not be a binding mashar. It's only if the person had a firm commitment, a decisive commitment, in order to give tzedakah, that's when it would be considered binding. So the Poskim say, based on this Aruch HaShulchan in item Yud Beis, says the Poskim, imagine if the person is sitting by an appeal. He's sitting by in shul, and the shul is making an appeal for a tzedakah, campaign for tzedakah. And imagine if you were thinking of announcing a donation, a pledge, and the gabbai didn't notice, and you never ended up being called upon to announce your pledge. So on the one hand, I thought that I want to give money, but my intent was not to commit myself with my thought. My intent was to announce my pledge publicly and commit myself verbally. So says the Poskim that since your machshava, since your intent was to verbalize it, you didn't have in mind that you should be bound by merely with the idea. You were planning on announcing it, and for whatever reason, the gabbai, whoever was making the appeal, he passed you over, he missed, he didn't notice that you were raising your hand to announce a pledge, your machshava would not be bound. Because the only time the machshava is binding is if you intend to bind, you make a firm conviction in your mind that that's your commitment. But if you were planning on announcing it and it didn't end up happening, then your commitment was through, your plan was to commit yourself verbally, and if that never ended up happening, then you wouldn't be obligated to follow through. That's an interesting twist. There was once a story that a person, he wrote a check to a certain organization, and something happened. The gabbai expected more, or the gabbai didn't end up coming. So the person tore up the check. You know what? I'll tear up the check. I won't give after all. So says the Ber Moshe that writing a check is certainly considered a mental obligation, even though you didn't verbalize it to anybody. But the fact that you sat down and wrote a check is no less than at least a mental commitment. And therefore, according to the Mordechai, which the Ramah says we should follow, that would be considered to be a verbal, that would be considered an obligation, a mental obligation, and you would be obligated to follow through according to the decision of the Mordechai. It's very common that, and Rav Shlomo Zalman speaks about this, sometimes in Eretz Yisrael or in other shuls, so you have mishulachim, you have people that are collecting tzedakah that are circulating during the davening, right? Sometimes the shul has a policy that they don't want solicitations during the davening, it disturbs the davening. They allow the person to make an announcement after the davening. And sometimes you have that people are circulating during the davening, and those that want to give, they notice the person, they take coins or a dollar bill out of their pocket, they put it down next to them, and they give it when the mishulah comes around. Imagine if you decided to give to that particular person, and then the person, for one reason or another, doesn't make it around to your side, and he leaves. So here's a predicament now, because you had in mind to give to a specific person, and you never ended up following through. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes that in Hilchos Matanas Matnasaniyim, he brings from the Chazan Ish. So someone's asking that a check might even be more than just a mental, right? So the Poskim discuss if writing something down is as if you made a dibur. There's a whole arichas regarding, for example, Sfiras Omer, when people have to count the Omer, you have to verbalize. Is writing down the day, is that considered having counted the day for Sfiras Omer. It's a big question in the postgame. Perhaps writing is as if you said it. So, for example, there are those who, when it's Sfira, there are those who write on the top of the letter what day of Sfira it is, and some postgame can have a question that you might have fulfilled the obligation of counting Sfira. You might not be able to recite a bracha, because if you wrote the name, the number of the day down, that might be considered as if you verbalized it. So the poskim here regarding Sukkah say that even if you hold that the writing, the maisa of writing something down doesn't count, even if you consider it to be, even if writing it down doesn't count as a maisa, but it's no less than an oral, than a mental commitment, and then you'd be obligated to do it mentally. That's what the poskim say about that. So you're right, that writing something down might be more than a machshava, but even if it's not considered more than a machshava, at the very least, it's considered to be a machshava. What about this case where a person, he thought that he wants to give it to a particular ani? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes in the name of the Chazon Ish that it's a little bit problematic. What the person should at least do, try to give it to that person. If that's not feasible, you should at least give the money to a different person. So you planned on giving it to this ani, so that didn't happen, the ani left. You should take that dollar that you planned on giving, and you should give it to another ani. It's brought in Sefer Halicha Shlomo, in item Tezvav, from Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, that he was very concerned about this scenario, and whenever he would set aside money to give to a particular ani, he would have in mind that a Bali Neder not to stumble in the prohibition of Nedarim. He was very concerned that committing to give to a specific ani would be binding to that particular ani, and if the ani would leave and you wouldn't be able to find him, that would pose a problem. So the Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was very particular not to think about an ani mafurad, not a specific ani. So for example, if you see someone coming into shul and you take a dollar out of your pocket, you should have in mind that you want to give it to tzedakah, not necessarily to that particular ani. And then if the ani makes it your way, you can give him that dollar. Otherwise, you should put the dollar into the pushka, because the machshava to give to that particular ani would be problematic. You might be obligated to give it to that specific ani. Again, Rav Chaim Kanievsky paskins that if that ever happens, you're allowed to give the ani, you can give the tzedakah to a different ani, but Rav Shlomo Zalman was very concerned, and it should be avoided. You should make it a practice to think, to contemplate, to give it to tzedakah, but not to designate the particular ani who you're giving it to. The stipler in Baba Kama, regarding tzedakah, he brings a machlekes reshayim. It's very interesting. Imagine our scenario where I set aside a dollar to give it to a specific ani. So we're saying now that the mental commitment is considered to be binding. Is it a vow that I have a vow, I have an obligation to give tzedakah to that organization or to that ani? Or does this particular dollar itself become the property of the ani? What does it mean? Just like we brought in the very beginning, that when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, an amira ligvoya, merely stating something, pledging something to the Gvoya, to the Beis HaMikdash, it's as if you gave it over to the Beis HaMikdash. It becomes actually acquired by the Beis HaMikdash. So the Poskim debate, to what extent are we applying that to tzedakah? When a person vows to give tzedakah, is it just a personal oath that he has? Is it a neder? Or did the money actually become the property of that organization? And there'll be a whole question if you'd be allowed to switch that money for other money. Imagine if you put money in an envelope to give it to a yeshiva, to give it to a shul, to give it to an ani. Did that particular money become already the property of that of that organization, of that tzedakah? Or is it merely a personal vow that you have to fulfill? And that's a discussion. So some want to say that a mental commitment would only create an obligation, but it wouldn't create a transaction. While others want to say that a mental commitment could even create this actual transaction, and the money might actually become the property of that organization. So giving tzedakah is a tremendous mitzvah, and if we pledge to give tzedakah, it's certainly binding. We should get into a habit in order to avoid a michshol, a stumbling in the darim. We should get into the habit of saying b'li neder. And if a person mentally commits to give tzedakah, so according to the Rush, it's not binding. According to the Mordechai, it is. The Ramah paskins like the Mordechai. And the Paiskim go so far to say that if you contemplate giving a particular dollar bill to an ani, it might actually become the property of that ani, and you would have to give it to that specific ani. The Chazon Ish writes that if that's not possible, you can give it to another poor person or another tzedakah, but Rav Shlomo Zalman explains that it's best to avoid the scenario. You should always have in mind Bli Neder, or you should always have in mind that you want to give it to tzedakah in general, giving yourself the leeway to decide, not committing yourself to a particular tzedakah, because then you wouldn't be able to retract if that ani would eventually end up leaving. Okay. Toby, I'm sorry, because we started at 8:30. Okay. Yasha Koyach, everybody.
Can you say something?
Yeah, I'm going to join the